Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome again to another episode of the Diva Squad Love Fantasy with myself, Angie, and it's T, and we have Rachel, which I was informed Rachel won't be on with us tonight, but you're here with us anyway, Rachel.
Okay. Hey.
Hey, Miss T, how you doing today?
I'm here.
I know. It's one of those days today, you know.
I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, me neither. I try not to because complaining does nothing but really take a lot of what little energy you have in you
exactly,
out. You know what
exactly,
I'm saying?
Exactly, you know, but hey,
listen,
with the good man
God
up
be
above,
the glory.
You know, I'm going to get through it.
Yes, for God be the glory.
Yes,
know.
So how was your week?
My week was going okay, and then, you know, we received bad news today of a close friend of ours passing away.
Wow. Well, you know, today was the burial of my nephew, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, he's in a better place.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and like a minister told me today, just think about it, baby. We're trying to get to where he is.
Absolutely.
And that just put a smile on my face. because I was so down.
Right.
I hadn't really been on the computer all day, but when he said that, I was like, wow, that make a lot of sense.
Right, right. It really does.
You know, sorry to hear about, you know, your people.
Yeah, again, she's no longer suffering, you know. She's been sick a while. She has lupus, and she's been struggling with that for years. So,
wow.
Yeah, just, again, she's not in any more pain.
Exactly. And that's what you got to realize, you know, because we don't know what a person is going through, you know, because you're not in their skin.
Right, right, right.
You know, so at the end of the day, you got to think, hey, sometimes people, the last words my sister told me was she was sick and tired of being sick.
Right.
So when you get
right.
to that point, you know, you're ready. You're ready.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I mean, you know, that this is going on into our show, you know, of grieving and things like that with the Martin family, you know? You know, because, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, that's just like my nephew. I can't imagine losing one of my kids.
Right, right.
It's something that, I mean, I always say that I hope and pray God take me before he take one of my kids.
Right, right.
But you never know until you have to go through it.
Exactly, exactly. And
you know, but a tragedy like Trayvon's, no mother or father, no one should have to go through that.
Yes, yes.
You know.
And especially the senseless act.
Right.
You know,
right.
you can almost, I mean, we're never really prepared for stuff like that, but when it's senseless like that, it just brings so much anger out of you. So, you know, it's hard to deal with. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
Death for anyone is a hard thing. But, you know, a young child and life being snuffed out, you know, unjustly, it's a travesty. It's a real travesty.
I mean, just his life was just stolen away from up under his feet.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, like, you know, how do you deal with that, you know?
Right.
I've never been in that position, so I wouldn't know. I couldn't really begin to say what I would do to react to the situation or
and you know what? We really can't. We can say what we would do, but you don't know until it happens to you.
Yeah, you
know. You know, that's just like a person losing a mother or father.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. If you haven't went through that, you can't say.
What
you know,
do.
But I honestly can say, you know, when somebody else goes through it, because I've
right.
been there.
Right.
You know, and it's no easy task. And I was very young when I lost my parents, you know, my parents.
Right.
And
right.
Just losing a loved one, period, is not a piece of cake. My sister, right. you know, that took me through a loop.
Right, right.
So, you know, we just have to be mindful that God makes no mistakes, and you never put a question mark behind his period.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of why questions that again, go unanswered when it comes to that, because the Lord works in a mysterious way.
I'm
know?
Telling you.
And
just be ready when he comes for you.
Yeah, we just have to be ready, you know. And you have to save you. You have to do what's necessary for you, because we can't enter the pearly gates for anybody.
No. We all got to punch our own time card, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I had to smile once I was told that today. You know,
right.
Like he said, I'm sure he wouldn't want you to be laying around moping, crying. You know, if anything, smile. Because
mm-hmm.
he's gone from this sinful world, you know?
Yep.
The corruption, everything.
Everything. Everything.
And you know, Angie, when you look around, you know, we're not safe in our own homes no more.
Right.
Let alone going out the door.
Exactly.
So we just have to deal with whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatever. whatever, you know.
Well, see, that's what I was just going to, you know, we have to, because, you know, with the extension of the Trayvon Martin trial, because I stopped saying George Zimmerman because they didn't try him. They tried Trayvon Martin.
Exactly.
And we try to teach our children to respect authority and have respect for authority, but what do you do when the authority fails you? You know, how do you deal? What do you say to your children then, you know, when it comes to authority? You know, we don't want them to be afraid of the police.
Exactly.
You know, they're supposed to be here to protect and serve us.
Right.
You know, and it's hard because what do I tell my son? Like, oh, well, don't run to the cop because, you know. So, I mean, hopefully there's a church available when there's some kind of trouble going on where he can actually run into the doors of a church. Because
right.
you see going to the police department where it leads us now, you know.
Man. Or security.
Yeah.
Or security. I mean, you know, because a neighborhood watchman, put it
right.
that way. You know, if it's going to be like that, please don't have no neighborhood watchman for me.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
because
no, no.
I'm going through a neighborhood. You think that because of my color that I'm up to sort of no good? Come on now.
Yeah, that's not fair. It's not fair.
It's not fair at all. You know, and I refuse to even, you know, be because that's being low rated.
Yeah.
You know,
low graded. It's being stereotyped. You're being, you know, misjudged.
The whole nine yards.
There was nothing good that came out of that.
Right. But, you know, as we were discussing, but what do we do now to help save our children and community?
Right.
Where
yeah.
do we go?
Well, see, and that's the thing now. We have to start becoming a community again, which is very important. You know, we actually segregate ourselves. We segregate
yeah.
ourselves, you know, against each other, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, but like you say, it's time to pull together now and be a whole.
Right.
Reach
right.
out, you know, as the mayor was saying last week, let's reach out to each other. Well, let's
right.
have a domino effect on it. Like, okay, I tell one person, they tell somebody, that person tells somebody. After a while, maybe everybody will come together as a whole.
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah, and like you said, and pull together. People don't understand how far a kind word to a child will go. You understand what I'm
you're
saying?
Right. You're
and
right.
especially to not knowing out their home lives or whatever, personally or whatever. You know, like I seen my little cousin the other day, and you know, he was going, had a little battle going back and forth between parents or whatever. And like I told him, listen, always love yourself and do the right thing.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And love God. And love God. Don't, you know, don't feel that you have to hide something about you to people. Because if you're always doing the right thing, you have nothing to fear anyway.
Right.
You have nothing to hide. You know,
you know, but also I tell my children, I don't care what you think that I may have said wrong or
mm-hmm.
what I may be doing wrong. At the end of the day, I'm still your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you only get one mother and one father.
That's right.
Well, definitely one mother. You know, but you got a lot out here that's not doing what they're supposed to. So what?
Right.
You know, the thing is, I'm going to always, even if my mother is gone now,
uh-huh.
but I still give her the utmost respect now.
Right.
You know, as I would if she was still living.
Right. Right.
You know, if something is between you and I, let it be between you and I. Don't bring my mother or father, please.
Right. Right. Right.
So now we looking for some problems.
Yeah, I know that's
why
right.
I hate the B
yeah.
word. Don't call yeah. me no B. My
right.
mother wasn't no female dog, so come on now.
Right.
I mean, you know, I just, I don't know. My heart goes out to the Martin family.
Yes.
You know, and I just keep thinking about this thing of, you know, them saying not guilty.
Yeah, that kind of punched me in my stomach when I heard it, because I'm like, okay, he may not be found guilty of murder too, but manslaughter, yes, that was a clear cut case of manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was other measures. Even if you're struggling or whatever, you had to literally pull your gun out and point it at this man's chest.
Exactly.
Shooting him directly in the heart. Why couldn't you hit him in the leg or in the arm or somewhere? You know what I'm saying? It's not like the bullet was flying. You had the gun flying and it accidentally shot him. You actually pointed
not,
him.
You meant to kill him. You meant to kill this baby. I mean, if you just had to shoot, why didn't you just shoot him in the leg or something?
Mm-hmm.
To make him stop.
Yep. Just even fire a warning shot. Like, listen. Well,
you know what, Angie? Hold that thought. We're gonna go to a phone.
Okay.
Everyone, hold the line. We're gonna go to a phone right now.
Okay.
All right, Angie.
Beep. Teeny, teeny, put your motherfucking hands up. By who?
The Dream.
Oh, that was a Dream. Yeah, okay, I thought so.
Yes. Now, that's the first time I heard that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one either.
But guess what? I'm going to listen to it more.
I know, that's right. Shout out to Rich and Levine in the back bumping. They be playing the hot jams.
Holding it down.
They be playing the hot jams.
They putting it down.
they be putting it down now.
Yeah.
Yes. So
back to, you know, what we were discussing about, you know, Trayvon Martin case. I don't know. And now all of these things are coming out about GZ. I don't even want to call him George Zimmerman. GZ. You know, of him being a pedophile. The way that he was talking about blacks on MySpace, you know,
yep.
Numerous of things have come out now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What does it mean? Does it mean that it's going to change the point of him being guilty?
Yeah, change the verdict.
Right. Right. You know, and I was reading an article where he saved. This family was in an accident, and he got out of his car, whatever, and, you know, like, rescued the family. But, you know, they didn't put in there whether the family was black or white. But I was telling somebody, I said, Angie, if I would have been in a car accident and I seen him coming, I would have been like, no, no, no.
Yeah. Nice. No, thank you.
Actually, Angie,
you know,
wait a minute. We got our first caller. Caller,
okay.
Are you there?
Yes, I is here.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good evening, Mike. Welcome to the Diva Squad.
What's going on, ladies?
My
did YouTube. You miss me?
Yes, we did. Of course we miss you. I do that for those like Mike. Listen, I'm wondering now because I heard you had been to China. I want to know how was your trip, honey.
It was all right.
You know, you didn't sound too happy about that. It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. You know, I know the mayor said it too.
The mayor telling people business. The mayor telling people business.
Yeah, he went all the way to China.
Mm.
He been to China again.
Well, Mike. Well, I don't know if you heard our topics or whatever, but we this is a spinoff from last week's show, speaking upon the Trayvon Martin. Trial verdict, and where this week we're speaking upon, where do we go from here? What can we do to, you know, to at least reassure our children that they're going to be all right? You know what I'm saying? Like, what can we do?
You know that's a good question, because just recently a friend of mine sent me a link about the cartoonist kid in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Y'all heard about that one too?
I saw a
Wait,
little bit.
What
of
was that, Mike?
The cops killed another black.
Yes.
You know,
I got killed
really
again.
We can't keep our kids isolated.
No.
You got some people that are just scared of the police, so they ain't gonna say nothing.
True.
You know, so you know, like that's a good question. What can we do to help? You know. Of the situation to really save our kids, because cops are going crazy. They're really going crazy. And they're getting cops younger and younger.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cops are, you don't know what they're doing, smoking or whatever the case is. You understand? But once they get that badge and that gun, it's over.
Yeah. They get trigger happy. Like, well, I'm allowed to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's scary.
It's scary because they're supposed to protect and serve us. You understand what I'm saying? That's the code, alleged code of a citizen on patrol. You're supposed to protect and serve. Where we can't even get the protection we need. You're protecting the suspect.
Yeah, because instead of protect and serve, they shoot and observe. After they shoot, they want to observe.
There you go. There you go.
No.
Good point, Mike. Very good point.
That's crazy.
That's a bad thing. That's real bad.
You know, but it's so sad though. You know, because at first, you know, it was so much like black on black.
Right.
You know, but I honestly, because here lately, where I am. We used to hear about a kid getting killed at least once a week.
Mm.
But since this case with Trayvon Martin, I don't hear the gunshots. I haven't heard about one of our kids. Well, yeah, I have, but, you know, not right here in my immediate community.
No.
You know, there have been a couple of, you know, where I think alcohol or something else might have been involved. And, you know, well, you on my turf or whatever, in Trenton, the young boy that got killed. You know, but I think that, you know, with these different rallies that's going on, it may be helping the community. And I hope and pray that it is because, like I said, we got to come together. We've got to come together because it very well could have been one of our kids.
Absolutely, and that's why it cut me so deep. You understand what I'm saying? I have a 23-year-old son and a 10-year-old son. And for me to get a call, with me, especially me knowing that he was going to the store, knowing what he was going to do, and to get a call that he was killed because of a jerk. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I really don't know how I would react. And I mean,
If New York was to get together like they did when the World Trade Center happened, it would be a beautiful thing because this is something real serious.
You know, not just New York, but all these states need to come together as a whole.
All of them.
You know, Judge Mathis spoke in New York, I think it was Saturday. You know, but before that, I seen a picture on Facebook where they had came together. I think it may have been the day after the verdict. I mean, they was getting ready to turn New York out. But you know, so many states have had rallies, and I'm just hoping and praying with everything in my heart that it's gonna make a difference.
That it will make a difference. Yeah, that something can be done that with all the rallying and the protesting and boycotting and all that stuff, that it actually really makes a difference. You understand what I'm saying? And again, I'm sure there's Caucasian children being killed. I mean, I'm speaking as a mother right now that, you know, but they really don't understand the significance of racism coming from a black person's perspective.
Right, but you know, it's not sticking out like a sore thumb with this case with Trayvon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, they may be getting murdered, you know what I'm saying, but at the end of the day, you know, it wasn't a black man murdering them, you know, because it would be a trial, and even if it was a black man, you're not going to hear about it because, guess what? He's going to go straight to jail. Type of bond, no nothing.
Yeah, that's going
to
be.
He's not going to be able to walk free like this man was.
Exactly.
No trial, no nothing.
He's not going to be able to walk up in the courtroom if they have a trial with without shackles and handcuffs.
Yep. Yep.
He's going to be dogged out.
And
you know,
well,
and the police gonna beat the devil out of him before he even get to jail.
Well, see, that's what makes them so comfortable, because they feel that we're doing it to ourselves. What's this little one guy gonna do? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, they killing
right.
each other every day, but yeah, they still are not doing anything to try to prevent it either. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? So,
I mean, you know. It's, man. I like I said, every time I think about it, I get chills. I really, truly get chills because, oh, man.
It makes
it's emotional. You
it
know, but at the end of the day, like I said, if you, I, or Mike go and do something to this man, it's not going to be bring Trayvon back. But guess
right.
what? We're going to be locked up the rest of our life.
Oh, sure.
Under the
no,
even if he came at us with a gun and we retaliated and we end up killing him, we're going to go to jail.
And
it's not going to be no hung jury. Ain't going to be no jury. You're guilty.
No.
You're he wasn't coming at you with a gun. That's what they'll say.
You're automatically guilty.
Right. Right. Yeah, no questions asked.
And this is another thing, because it's mainly happening to our young men. And that's
yes.
why I always
yes.
say how important it is for the men to be involved in their sons' lives. Because us as women, we can teach them to be respectable, but we can't teach them to be a man. You understand what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? I can't
You're right.
teach my son how to be a man, because I don't know what it is for. I don't know what it is to be a man. I'm not a man. You understand what I'm saying? And again, they need to really be physically involved with their sons. Be very active with them. Not just go buy them the latest sneakers or keep them up with the latest trends and stuff like
right.
that. They really need to be active. You know what I'm saying? Take them
you
to
know,
seminars. Take them somewhere where it really don't even cost any money.
Right. Take them to the basketball court. It's funny that you spoke on that, Angie, because I just told my grandson's father the same thing. Look, it only takes a little time, but bring him up. Show him the right way. Don't have him hanging out on the corner with you. Take him to the gym. Take him somewhere, Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
just take that
right.
undivided attention.
Right.
That's
okay.
all they want. Just
right.
give him
go
some time.
Practice.
He's 6 years old. Now is the time that you should have been started, but now start for real.
But see, you know what? I said that. I said that from experience, simply because now I don't know if I'm wrong for this or whatever, but because the first thing we teach our children is not to lie. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? We teach them not to lie. Now, my son's father right now is out in the streets. He's on drugs and
wow.
all kinds of stuff. But my son knows nothing of that. My son right now thinks his father is in North Carolina. He lives there in North Carolina. You know
oh,
what I mean? But again, I think I am wrong for lying to him, because now all I'm doing is still enabling him to get away with the nonsense. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And,
how old is he now, Angie?
My son is 10.
Now is the time to sit him down and be honest with him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so he won't come up and make the same mistake. You know,
right.
we can bring them up one way, but trust and believe, sweetheart, once they are grown, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
I'm going to a similar thing. You know, hey, I got a 23-year-old and a 32-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once we have done all that we can do, and if
mm-hmm.
they choose to go another route, there's nothing we can do. So
right.
your thing is to tell him now, because what if he finds out later on when he gets older and be like, Mom, why you lied to me?
Right,
why didn't
right.
you tell me what my dad was really about?
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? Then that guilt won't be in your heart or on your shoulders.
Right.
You know, because he could actually look at you like, why was you sticking up for him if he was doing all of this?
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's my point of view. You know,
right.
That's like my kids' fathers, they wasn't doing what they supposed to do, but I never talked down on them, but I would let them know, this is what was going on at this time. You know, sometimes my kids even want to talk about their fathers now. I'll tell them, yes, we did, or he did, or I did. You know, it's no shame in what, you know, I've done. Long as you're holding up doing what your motherly duty is supposed to do, you tell that baby. He has the right to know.
Right.
He has the right to know.
Right. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Mike?
No, I was agreeing with what T was saying. I definitely agree with it. You know, you don't want to keep nothing a secret from them, especially if you know they're boys and, you know, they look up to their father. You understand? Yes, a young man do need a father figure, but you understand? They got to be the right father figure. You understand?
There you go.
You don't want this son to be thinking that, all right, well, my father is doing good in North Carolina, such and such, boom, boom, boom. Yes, you don't want your son to be like, well, you know, my father is a bum, and, you know, and come back to you on that fact, but you still got to let them know the truth that, all right, well, listen, your father, you know, he's a good man, such and such, but you don't got to put him down like as
he's got
doing
problems.
Dirt. You understand? Yeah,
he's got problems.
That's how you break it down.
You know, don't say he's a bum. He's got
right.
problems.
Right, right.
You know, and it's really a problem when you are out there like that and you can't come back.
Yeah.
You know, so be truthful and be honest with him where somebody else may end up telling him, then how is he going to react? My mama said he in North Carolina. My dad ain't doing this. He ain't doing that. My mama didn't say he was doing that. Then he's going to look at you totally different.
Well, see, that's why I've been questioning myself lately about it. You understand what I'm saying? So, and like I said, he's always thought very highly of his father. You understand?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's time for him to know.
Being in prison and everything, he's thought highly of his father.
Oh,
wow.
I don't
want him to end up resenting me for, you know what I'm saying, for, like you said, finding out something different. So.
Right. And he very well could if somebody go to him, like, you know, he get into it with somebody or one of his cousins or whatever.
Right.
You know, because sometimes family can hurt you worse than anybody.
That's true.
And when one of the kids come out, well, your daddy a crackhead or your daddy this, your daddy that.
Right.
And then he come back in tears and, you know, you have to really say, well, babe, they didn't lie.
Yeah.
And then he's going to look at you like, well, Mom, why didn't you tell me this?
Right.
So I could have been prepared for whatever somebody come at me with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, I would pray on it, but I would definitely sit him down, you know, because he's getting ready to become a young man.
Right.
You don't want him to fall in those tracks.
Mm-mm.
Or somebody
mm-hmm.
come and tell him that, and he start rebelling because he didn't know.
Right.
You know, and you may wait too late. You know, he gets a little bit older, and then you start saying, well, I was going to tell you, but... And he can come at you, but what, Mom?
Right.
You know, why didn't you let me know this?
Right.
You had me thinking that my dad was doing okay. He knew that he was in jail.
Yeah.
That's just as bad. So, you know, why not enlighten him on what's really, really going down?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I'm protecting my son, I'm actually not. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're not.
It's more protecting his father than anything, but I didn't mean to get off subject.
It's still talking about our children.
This was just, you know, this is one scenario in the whole, you know, whole book of life, black men. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I brought that up, because stuff like this again. You know, little things like this can actually save our children. It can make or break them. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why it's important for the fathers, if you are able to be involved with your children, be involved. You know what I'm saying? Be involved.
Because you know what I was just sitting here thinking too, Ange? With you telling him that, he may have a friend that has a father that's living with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this father may be taking these kids through the same thing. But they're seeing this daily.
They can see
he
it,
may
right.
be able to, or that kid may be able to enlighten him on something.
Right,
so that's
right.
why I said, tell him.
Right.
Tell him. Because this way, we are saving our children.
Yeah.
And he could end up working with the community. Just
right,
from those
right.
words.
Right. Being a young advocate or something.
Exactly.
I try again to enlighten my not just him, all my children on anything that I know and I feel they need to know. I try to enlighten
right.
them on things.
Right.
When it comes to finances and all kinds of things, I'll
buy right.
history and stuff like that. Stuff that
life is too short. Life is, you know,
and
school. As we know, age, my nephew was 29. You know, he didn't die from a tragedy, but at the end of the day, he just passed.
Mm.
You know, they're saying that it was a massive heart attack, 29 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, at the end of the day, it's time to tell our young kids, let them know early in life, you know, it's not a cakewalk out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And again, and another thing I was thinking about too, because you know how we used to go back to being nosy neighbors and stuff like that. If you see a child, and especially to a child that you know that's not doing something right, don't be afraid to say anything. But nowadays, you have people out here saying, "Oh, you got parents fighting because they said something to your child." You know what
right.
I'm saying? Oh, don't be talking
right.
to my child like that. Don't be.
Right.
I'm not going out there and beat nobody kid down. No, that's not. But if you see something, say something. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you got to pull together as parents. You know
what
I'm saying?
Stop right.
thinking that we are our kids' friends. We are at the end of the day, but at the start of the day, I'm your parent.
Right.
And we're going
right.
to maintain that relationship. We're going to keep that respect. You know what I'm saying? Now, if your alliance is together, they're not going to let nobody else come in there. You understand what
right.
I'm saying? There ain't going to be no room
right.
for nobody else to come in there and disrespect us and be disrespectful like the neighborhood watch.
Right, right. You know, like I said, these kids need us. They really need us. They need each other.
That's
you
right.
know, because when a tragedy does strike, do you notice how all the kids come together?
Yes,
so they
really do. They get together, the memorials, and all kinds of
right,
things going on
right.
for their
you know,
friends.
And I hate to see a man cry, but I've seen so many young men crying behind
yeah.
Trayvon Martin, and their
yeah.
friends have been taken away. But Mike, I want you to hold the line, Angie. You hold the line. We're gonna go to another call.
I ain't going. No.
Well, thank you.
Here's a story about a young girl, true and all, been through it all. She was only 16, but swore she knew it all. No family, no one to call, in the world she's lost. Skipping school, letting all the boys inside her drawers. Getting higher, morning weed, I'm talking coke and speed. She feels school is something that she don't really need. She barely reads and writes, running with them thieves at night. Sleeping with grown men in search of a sweeter life. She sells her body for a sweet price. One sniff for that blow and she's in paradise. She wants to find herself, but has no insight. At night she cries for help, but she don't understand life. At least the life she lives. What kind of life is this? For a young girl whose life is priceless. Precious as a jewel. But here's the sad news. She died of AIDS. Another gone too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up. It's the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees. can hardly breathe. Wondering why she leaves me here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not. Cause she's gone, 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 gone.
You wakes up every morning after a good stretch and yawning, ready to face the trials and tribulations of the day. He feels his family doesn't love him cause he's gay. No one accepts him except for the ones he's sexing. He gets bullied in school, the kids treat him cruel. He wants to end it all but not sure what he should do. His heart is filled with blues, he has nothing to lose. Still he dresses and dresses in high heel shoes, with his long hair, lipstick and pretty jewels. It makes him to stay him and not change for them. So misunderstood, somebody pray for him. All alone in this world, no one to take him in. I pray to God and make a way for him. He wants it all to end, though it's hard to overcome the situations that he's in. Because he loves men, who are we to label that as sin?
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, just a part of heart. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why she leave me here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not. She's gone, 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 gone.
Mom and dad had a little baby girl, but the daddy wanted to be in a little baby's world. So she grew up confused, thinking to herself, why daddy ain't wear them shoes to put on his feet to walk her to school. The other kids' fathers did it, that was cool. She cried so much tears she could have made a pool. She felt this pain all through grade school. Father's Day came, she wrote, I hate you. When that karma come, Jesus can't save you. Her conscience saying, your dad probably hates you. Show love to his son so he looks like an angel. On Facebooks and pics, it's all smiles. When she sit on the other side, it's all frowns. Now her little heart damaged, thinking to herself, will he care if I vanish? Mommy, why my daddy don't love me? Then her conscience say, probably think you ugly. Big day for her graduation. She texts him, are you coming? Please don't have me waiting. Don't have me waiting. Have me waiting.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, the waking up is the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why.
Children by G-I-T-O.
By Ditto?
G-I-T-O.
Oh, Cheeto.
That's, if I'm not mistaken, one of the underground artists that was on the Friday show.
Oh, okay. That's a nice song.
I'm going to tell you, I heard it Monday. The words, if you just sit there and listen to it, it'll bring tears to your eyes. I'm telling you, it's a deep message in that song.
That song,
you know,
deep.
The baby saying, "Mommy, why daddy don't love?" I mean, come on.
Right.
Oh man, I got chills. Man.
Give
the DJ a big applause for that song right there.
Yes, clap it up, Paul.
Yes.
That's what a DJ has.
Yes, man. Look, I'd have broke out into a sweat and everything. Wow.
Again, folks, you are on the Diva Squad, 646-238-38. Get in and get on the conversation with us. It's we're on a rendition of last week's show from George Zimmerman. I even hate mentioning his name. I really do. That man that's found not guilty of murder. You know,
that animal. That's what you need to call him.
Yeah, but you know what? He the people that acquitted him are bigger animals than he is.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
at the end of the day, they all got to pay for what the verdict was.
Sure. They'll have to answer for that.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. You have to
answer. The song is just racing through my head right now.
Yeah, and then they complain, talk about, oh, we're the ones making it racist, making it about race and all that stuff. What do you expect people to do at this point? What do they expect people to do?
Exactly.
That's my question.
I mean, you know, hey.
Expect people to do? And like I said, I'm not prejudiced.
What?
I have plenty of white. I have plenty of white friends. You know what I'm saying? And that was just, that was racism in its rarest form right there. I'm sorry.
True that. You know? And Mike, like you say, what can we do? You know, I know prayer helps, but we also got to come together, like I said, one. We got to come together as one big family.
We got to put in that work. Yeah, we got to put in some type of work, too.
And it's not going to be no easy job.
Oh, absolutely not.
You're going to have to mean it. And don't just start it and stop.
Right.
You know, because, like, when you put one foot in, just keep putting it in. Keep digging in it.
Yes.
You know, just dig all the way into it until you can't dig no more.
Right. So
you know,
and
I made the statement last week, you know, like, everybody's not going to do this and do that. But the mayor said, you know, hey, don't worry about what the next person going to do. Long as you do your part.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's right.
My words can be a help to somebody else where they can go and help somebody else.
That's
and
right.
And like I say, make it a domino effect.
That's right.
Make it a domino effect. Let them all fall together.
The trickle down theory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because just one person can actually make the difference. And we see that.
I think it's bad because it always takes a tragedy in the state for everybody to get together.
Exactly.
You understand? And for this guy to go up on Twitter and say everything that he's been saying, it's like,
man,
I think he knew he was going to get off with it.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Everybody
now.
Said that. Everybody said that, Mike. And at the end of the day, when you really look at it, he had no type of remorse, no type of worration on his face, or nothing.
Well, he knew he was going to get off when the police officers never charged him. You understand what I'm saying?
When he never went to jail.
It makes me believe that they actually shook his hand when he went to the police station.
Stand your ground, Law. Okay, stand your ground.
I'm still trying to figure out where the ground he was standing at. What was his ground? What ground were you standing when your property wasn't being violated? Your stuff wasn't being violated. Your neighborhood watch. You're supposed to only watch, observe what you saw, and report it back. It didn't say go take the law into your own hands. But
okay,
you didn't
we have another caller. Hold on. And
okay.
Caller, are you there? Hello? Caller,
hey.
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Who's calling?
It's Kia.
Hey, Kia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Hi, Kia.
Welcome.
Okay, Kia, it's serious today, all right?
Hmm?
Mike, leave Kia alone.
Mike said it's serious today, Kia.
Yeah, he said he being serious today, Kia, so can you believe it? But, Angie, you want to tell her what we're talking about?
Yes, this is
I'm sorry, what did he say?
He said he's being serious today.
Whatever.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Anyway, our show today is a spinoff of last week.
I just heard somebody say something about the trial. I guess because he knew whatever. I think what everybody failed to understand that the prosecutor didn't present a case.
Yeah, they failed him.
He didn't present nothing. So you hear a lot of people, us talking amongst each other, everybody talking, whatever. They didn't present nothing that was, they didn't present nothing. Now
yeah,
we gotta hope that the federal court, they're gonna press charges or put the right charges. Now that's still gonna be totally different aspect because of the 911 case. When he was told not to proceed, he proceeded.
Right.
He
and
violated
his civil
rights by proceeding when he was told not to proceed. But the prosecutor didn't present not one drop of dime, so that's the reason why.
So you think they
were
in on it?
Smiling.
You think they were in on it?
No, he wasn't in on it. He just didn't present the case like he's supposed to present the case.
Like he should have, right.
Everybody you talk about, you have to present hard evidence, and it seemed like he didn't, and I'm not knocking her, like he wasn't prepped on certain things, people wasn't prepped. He was, the defense attorney did was that he did, he was stripping through everybody's statement.
Right.
He was going through them.
Yeah, that
and
was
you
hard.
When you get, and I'm not saying I don't know this. I never heard this attorney. No criminal attorney. If he was to get Roy Black out of Miami, you would have had a big powerful attorney, criminal attorney. If he was to get the same guy this right there that's representing Hernandez, which is a big criminal law firm here in the city of New York, even though they got a practice in Boston, that's one of the major criminal law firms in the city of New York that represent him. Aaron Hernandez.
Wow.
He's a powerful attorney, then, he's the one that
right.
had. He's just knocked the prosecutor's stuff straight down. That's all that was.
Never mind. My question would be irrelevant. Our thing is
now, Kia, where do you feel we should go from here as a people? We're at this point, knowing that we're fighting a justice system that was built against us. Where do we go from here?
Well, we have a long way to go because it seems like we're still doing the same thing that we've done that our ancestors have done.
Right.
A lot of stuff, stories I've heard because my parents are from the South. My parents lived it. They went to school it was a segregated. So, this is the stories of my grandfather who served his military for almost 30 years but couldn't vote. So,
right.
You hear stories about my great-great aunt, same thing she says about, women's suffrage. Do we really know what women's suffrage is? Do we know what the combat that women plays a role in the civil rights? Do we understand that? No, a lot of women do not understand the vote. But we could just be out here wanna chastise each other, talk about each other, can't stand each other. It's a difference. I mean,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
We're not paying much attention to our little cousins.
I see my little cousins, and I'm telling y'all right now. They don't have a head on their shoulder. You can see here some of the stuff that come out their mouth. And you sit up here, and then when they get mad, my cousins get mad when people like my aunt and my other. Let me say something about my mother and my aunt. My mother, they don't care who kills one. My mother don't care who kid it is. That's either that's our great niece or whatever. She's chastising their mother. Because if you allow her out there to be doing it, you should be ashamed of yourself. There's no way she could tell you what time she's coming home or what time she's going to be good. Oh, I'm going to get her in a few minutes. Oh, she's just playing, aunt. She ain't playing. And
right,
my mother and my aunt, they do not play. They don't bite their tongue. I guess that's why I get it.
And it's
they
a good
don't bite
thing.
Their tongue.
It's a good thing because the kids got to have guidance somewhere.
That's right.
You know, but what good is it going to do if they are just getting it every once in a while and not all the time?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, is it going to work?
In anything you do, and this goes for anybody at any age, you still need some kind of discipline. You understand what I'm saying? Because
right.
otherwise, you're just going to run amok, and that's what's happening. And again, they don't want anybody else saying anything to these kids, and they be ready to fight. But look at how your child is acting.
Thank you.
You wonder why people are judging them. You wonder why people
mm-hmm.
are sitting around talking and stuff like that, because look at how they're speaking.
It's not going to hurt them in the long run. It's going to only help them. You know, that those few words of wisdom can make them a different child for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And then you have children that are just so
because
distressful.
Because my sister's the same way. And my
mm-hmm.
oldest brother, my oldest brother will talk to me like I'm a kid if I'm wrong. If I say something stupid, he's going to come at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
because
most of these parents out here want to be their friends. They don't want to be their parents.
Exactly.
Exactly.
There you go. You got a good point, Mike.
My mother used to always say, this is something my father always say, this is what my parents have, it's not ours.
Right.
My father used to always say, he just spent 35 years in North Surrey and spent through this, the conflict that he had. His kids think that this is theirs. My father was big on that. And my sisters, they used to be, I'm the youngest of all my sisters, so, you know, I got a little advantage of a lot of stuff. But my sisters would think that my mother do for their kids, they supposed to do for them. And they used to sit there, and my mother would tell my sister, how can you buy Kyrie 5 coats? How would you go to wear all 5 of those coats this year?
Right.
Now.
Wow.
And then we about to go somewhere, and you don't have a plane ticket to go somewhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're trying to put all this stuff up on them, regardless.
See,
it's like my father always said, stay for a rainy day.
And see, listen, and that goes, and that also goes to see how these young women are dressing and all kinds
of
stuff. Who's buying their clothes?
Their parents giving them the money, or them, you know, whoever's getting the money,
or the parent is going out there buying it for them.
And that's not.
I would say all the parents are, because you can get if money's coming to me, kid, can you give me $50? I'm like, what do you need it for? You know,
right.
You know,
that's where your stand your ground law comes in.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Where I'm standing my ground, I said you're not gonna wear it, and I mean it.
Right.
You see them auntie on. Let me say something about my cousin. She go at her house wearing something that she, you know, you think whatever, but on Instagram, whatever, she got something totally different. In the bathroom, see any bathroom pictures they take all day in school?
Yeah, it's crazy. And again, that starts it most starts with us. It starts at home. And
uh-huh.
it spreads abroad. You understand?
I agree 100%.
We must teach our children of our history. You understand?
Yeah, because you know, and I see this post a lot too. If we spoke to our parents the way that some of these kids do nowadays, either we wouldn't have no teeth, or we wouldn't be here to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, my mother's and their favorite words was, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out.
I'll take you right out.
And if we, you know, but like I said, a lot of this happened when they took Christ out of schools. You know.
Now,
just disrespect.
They can't say anything that has anything to do with God in it and stuff like that.
And kids know that
you know
they can call diapers. You know, I'll call diapers. You hit me. Well, I tell you what, you call diapers, sweetheart, because diapers better take you and keep you, because when you get out, I'm going to get you again. Now call diapers, because I'm not going to have one that I can't tell what to do. I tell my kids now, and they both grown, but I'll still knock you on your butt. I will still knock you on your butt.
My thing is, I never forget my senior year after the internship at Family Youth and Services. My aunt, friend of my aunt, said, "Oh, Pia, you know, I did an internship. Do you know my first day on the job there? They came in to fill out the application. This young lady came in and she couldn't, you know, fill out the application, but she couldn't read it. But she had three stairs of children.
paper. She couldn't read that application
wow.
and throw it out. I never.
Wow.
That's why I became so involved with literacy because of that. Because I'm looking at this her and I'm like, and she couldn't fill out the application. And I'm sitting here like, she got kids. That's three of them that was fifth steppers and one that was already in school. How was she helping them with their homework? That made me get involved about reading. I have always had a passion about reading, but it made me get more involved because
right.
there's no way. And I said, I told her, there's so many programs out here free for you that you're not taking advantage of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not just for your kids, it's for
adults. No, you need to get the CDC for you to go take some reading.
And so many of them you don't even have to pay for. And you don't even have to pay for a lot of them.
And that what makes me mad when they don't have to pay for nothing. It's all free in the community, but they too lazy.
Exactly.
How many people got them signed up for their summer reading class and everything, but they gonna roam this. I asked my husband, got your kids signed up? They just because you.
Wow.
I never forget that my senior in college, I had to do school. I never forget that.
It probably broke your heart.
And I was like, I couldn't. You know what? Because he was like, he got three kids and one was in school. Three fifth steppers and one was in school.
Oh,
and
man.
And the application. I'm like, how's she going to help her child with homework?
And you, like you say, Kia, instead of going out here bettering yourself, you're out here in the streets. Making more babies.
Out here making more babies.
You know, your kids better be smarter than you, or either they're
yeah.
going to grow up criminals, locked up, in jail or hell, as the saying
yeah.
goes. You know, and
exactly.
it really, like you said, at the end of the day, is a very, very sad and unfortunate situation when you have these free programs and all you got to do is apply yourself to go to them.
The programs are out there. It's free. There's a lot of stuff that if you can be on Facebook, whatever, and do all this
wow.
stuff, you can be able to search all these little free programs that's out here that's given to you, and it's stuff that's going to be your child.
You know, and that's like, I've got a lot of young people that, you know, like I talk to, and I'm talking about 15, 16-year-olds and younger. And these kids are out here looking for jobs, but then
mm-hmm.
a lot of them can't get the job, you know, because of the age or whatever, or because they can't be behind, you know,
mm-hmm.
the like cooking materials,
right.
things like that.
Yeah,
and I mean,
jobs,
you know,
a lot of jobs now you have to be 16 to work.
Exactly.
Like McDonald's, you got to be 16, and
right.
I think Stop and Shop, you got to be 16. A lot of different jobs. They don't really have a lot of programs available
for the younger kids. But they're giving
the
a lot of these college kids the jobs.
Because of funding.
And it's
like that.
And I'm guilty, and I'm not even going to always talk to somebody. I'm guilty is I don't know what has been. Because I didn't think I needed to work because I had, and just I guess because of my parents or whatever, I feel so I'm in high school, I didn't get no summer job, both my parents were, you know, my parents
right,
job.
Right.
But let me tell you right now, I paid later on in college and everything because it reflected my resume about certain things, about the actual, you know, but what about that high school, you know, in your summer when you were, you know, high school years and everything. I'm like, I spent my time in the library, so you didn't want to work or nothing. That was a little downfall, and I see it
right.
now as I, you know, get older because, no, I didn't think I needed to work when I,
wow.
you know, sit in my house or be at the beach, be in the pool or whatever. I that's the mistake that I live and I make. I regret
okay,
that.
Okay, Kia, hold that phone on, please. We have a couple of callers on the line. Callers, are you there?
Hello, what's going on?
Okay. Hey.
Hey.
Who's
this?
That's Kiki Chick right
oh,
there.
Yeah.
But,
that's how y'all
going to
do. Y'all know my voice now?
No, I said Kiki.
She said, no, I'm sorry, Chick, because I'm on my cell phone, and it's just, I'm in my
yeah,
car.
You say I'm far. Wait a minute, we have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm a young mother, and I'm interested in these programs. And I'd like to know how I can get hooked up with these programs.
Listen, we're being serious here. Kiki, how you doing? Dave, how are you doing?
I'm good. I can't go.
the reason I call is because I do have some people that's interested in these programs. So I wanted for you to, if you had the information, to give the information out so that we can actually reach out to these programs.
I live because, in the state of New Jersey. I don't know what state you live in. I think you gotta check out your own community.
Yeah, Florida.
To see what type of program is open. I'm only, you know, something that's here in New Jersey, every county.
Someone has a lot of noise going on in the background.
Somebody got a TV going or something.
That's what she's saying, that they would have to go within that state that you're in and Google it or whatever, you know.
Within
but,
their community.
She's only speaking about New Jersey.
Okay, yeah, because I have some girls in New York as well as Florida, but that's why.
There's a lot of programs. They don't go to the New York City Public Library to see what type of stuff is going on.
All right.
Go check the libraries and see what's going on in there and things. That's what you have to get out and go see. Look on the website and stuff like that. They have to go out there
now their focus is different. Everybody's they're looking at
every state.
It's more about fashion and keeping up with the latest trends. Nobody's focused on really going out there and looking at the, you know, learning up on their history and seeing what kind of difference they can make. You understand what I'm saying?
Go to this community college and see what they're offering, stuff that's free in New York City. They have to go out there and find these things and get up in the morning time and go look. It's not going to come to you unless you go out there and look for it.
That's true. So true. Chicken,
yeah, well,
how you been?
I've been good, man. I've been up and I've been down, but I'm back up again. You know what's going on? I'm chilling. I can't. I'm listening to the serious topic y'all going on right now, but you know, I'm just reflecting on a lot of things. A lot of things changing in my life, man. So, it's something to talk about.
Yeah. And you want to tell them basically what the seriousness of the topic?
Well, this is a spinoff from last week's show. The GZ trial and. Now we're at a point, what do we do from here as a people? What do we do now? We know what we're facing. We know that now we're having problems with our judicial system and everything, and that it was built against black people. Where do we go from here as a people?
Well, if anybody seen my Facebook thing, I don't know if I have a controversial view against this, so I don't know how all my people going to feel about it. But what I try to tell somebody, I said, man, the injustice that went on in Sutton, I see all the time. Y'all know I did 7.5 years in federal prison. So I have seen people that were set in jail for things they didn't do for injustices happen. And people got to understand, there's a difference between law and justice. You understand? So if we're going by justice wasn't served, it wasn't served. If you go by the law was served. You know what I mean? And that's why it gets controversial. I told people, if you're not able to take your emotions out of this, that's the difference between white people and black people. When they sentence you and when they come up with a law, it has nothing to do with emotions. They know how to rationalize. See, what we do is we put our emotion into everything, and then we go up in the uproar. We put ourselves through so much, man. If we learn how to take our emotions out of it and learn how to fight this fight how they do, we're going to be better served off.
Right now.
Yeah. Okay. At the same time, though, brother, at the same time, the law is designed not to be in our favor. And when you have a law and you instruct the jury on the law is going to work against you every time. Now, we understand that you take your emotions out of it, but how do you take your emotions out of something that's been happening for the past 500 years? I mean, you just can't.
That's the thing right now. We already know that this is not our home. This is not our laws. If you already know what you're fighting, it's like me stepping into a ring. If I step into a ring and I ain't studied my opponent, when he knocked me the hell out, we are supposed to use the fact that I wasn't ready, he cheated. You know he's a cheater. You know he's bigger than you. You know he's already got things designed for you not to win the fight. So once you step into the ring, you got to step into the ring ready. Because now you're going to use the excuses of why you got knocked out. Oh, he got heavier gloves than me. You already knew that before you stepped in the ring. You knew these things already going on in your life, and you still susceptible to it. So right now what we're doing this is an unfortunate event that what happened to the young man. It's an unfortunate event. But what happened is when I seen that, when I was watching that trial, I knew he wasn't going to win. I knew that he wasn't going to be found guilty because what happened was it was law versus justice. It was law versus justice. The law, he went by the letter of the law. Now, what happened, justice wasn't served because he wasn't supposed to follow him. But following him, it wasn't against the law. Now, when we go into this civil rights thing, he going to lose that because he violated his civil rights. But as far as, like, what the law is written down for, when you think about Florida and you think about the elections that they got down there or what they used to do to the black people that live in Florida, that law has already been designed for this. When they did that standing your ground law, they made them laws that to rebel against gangbangers and stuff and people right. that were selling drugs. So it wasn't just a law that was made for a regular black person. It was made against the black people down there that was doing things to our own community. And what happened is they said, you're not going to bring it to my community. Because if you bring it to my community, this is what I'm going to be able to do. I'm going to be able to defend myself. And that's what they did. But now what happened, we had an unfortunate event that was based off of other things that superseded that event. He was just having to be the wrong person with a hoodie on at that time. You understand? He just happened to be the wrong person. And that's what makes it so unfortunate because somebody had to die.
Can I ask you something? So you're saying he shouldn't have been the wrong person. So you think if it was a young white man walking with a hoodie on, do you think that would still occur? Like
no,
that?
but that's asinine to even think that because you know it wouldn't be like that. That's wrong sentence. This we already
it
know. You know
that
what happens is this. We'll go back to the 60s. If a white man raped a black girl, is he going to jail? No. So but what happened when our elders used to tell us, look, don't go down there, don't mess with them white women. You got all right to mess with a white woman. But what happens when you do? They're going to do something to you. So what happened is, you know, you got to understand, like, this, things are not geared towards us, so you got to put yourself better in the fight. I told somebody an example like this, right? I'm a born-again Christian now. I got a radio show. I do stand-up comedy. I do community work in my area. I'm a youth minister, right? All this stuff. But let something happen to me right now and get locked up. And I was somebody of importance. You know the first thing I'm going to say? He was a gangbanger. He's been locked up before. He's a three-time felon. They're not going to mention that I'm a youth minister. They're not going to mention none of that stuff. He does radio show. He turns his life around. They're going to reflect all the things that I did bad. And they're going to say, how did this man slip through the cracks? How could you let him have been a youth minister? They're going to say all that stuff. They're not going to say none of the good stuff.
With your example and stuff that you just gave, that's why I just found it so prejudiced how Trayvon Martin was killed and how they felt that following him was no. But he had instruction not to. You understand what I'm saying? He did his duty by calling the police officer already. You already did.
Right.
What was necessary about you to continue to follow him? You understand what I'm saying? That was
that's the wrong.
Really
that's the case. Very stereotypical.
You understand what I'm saying? And it's just that was crazy. Law, not all. Nowadays, when it comes, and you as a Christian man should understand this, they're trying to put man's law above God's law. You understand what I'm saying? Laws don't stop nobody from doing anything. All it does is it enhances people to do what you're not supposed to do 10 times more.
Now, I understand that, but like I said, if we put religion in it, see, it puts a whole different spin at it, because if I throw religion out of it, I'm not looking at Trevon as a black kid, or I'm looking at the George Zimmerman as a white man. If I'm looking at them through my faith, I'm looking at them as just, you know what I mean, just children of God, and whether they follow him or not. So I can't put my religion factor into it, because then that puts a whole different spin on it.
My thing is that their family is going to have a strong civil rights case when it's time for a lawsuit.
They have a strong
background, strong case for civil rights because he violated his civil rights when he proceeded, when he was told not to. He proceeded for the case. The case with the civil rights is going to be strong for the family because when they sue him, they're going to sue him. He's not going to be able to breathe because all the money that he will, future money that he's ever going to make, will all go to Trayvon Martin's foundation or fund that the family can set up.
and that's
they
exactly,
got a, they have a strong civil rights case against them.
See, that's the same thing. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's why I said from the beginning, the civil rights thing, that's when that's going to throw in the morality aspect of it. That's the part that's going to get thrown into it about the right and the wrong, about the justice. See, we had the first case is about the law. This is where the justice is going to be served at. That man no longer is going to be able to, the things that he took away, we're going to take away from him. Now, like I said,
yeah,
the man is...
Sticky, check this out, man. You keep mentioning the law, but here's the law. The law is that Zimmerman was not law enforcement. He was a citizen. He was not law enforcement, man. He had no business detaining, and that's exactly what he did. He detained Trayvon Martin as a citizen.
Well,
he detained him.
I don't want y'all to take that the wrong.
It's called kidnapping. It's called kidnapping.
Look, I don't want you to take it the wrong way. But look, I'll watch
you
the case.
You can't take it the wrong way, Dave. You don't understand the law. You don't understand what the case that he's just saying. You gotta read that law. It's not what you're saying is not even fair ground. I mean, look what you're saying. What he's saying is, if they went by the law, the prosecutor said he presented nothing. That's exactly why he got off. They went by the law that's in Florida.
This is what I'm saying to y'all, right? They didn't even. The case wasn't even stand your ground. They was going to do stand your ground law, right? But the stand your ground law, they knew they was going to lose. This what happened. Y'all got to understand, when you watch the case, when he ran, there was a 4-minute time period that no one can account for. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm trying to say. I don't have a view. I know the man was wrong for what he did. But what I'm saying is, when I watched it, when you go with the facts words, we talk about the facts. We're not dealing with the emotion part. You take the emotion out. That's what the dude did. He said, take your emotion out of it. Let's use the facts. That 4 minutes is unaccounted for. Nobody can say whether Trayvon Martin hooked off or if he didn't hook off. That's the reason why he beat it, because they don't know what happened. So they couldn't. You couldn't throw in what you think happened. All they had to do is take the facts into account. And all they did
was destroy Zimmerman's word because the dead man can't talk.
Nobody knows what happened.
Listen, my personal opinion is he got out with his gun already cocked and loaded. He was shot before anything. That could be the fact right there. We're not saying that's the law, but the case was presented.
That's how it was presented. The people said the prosecution case up.
Right.
She
was dressed up.
Now Holder stopped everything. He told them not to. He's going to take everything that Trayvon's attorney has, well, the prosecutor has, I mean, and he's going to take everything that Sherman attorney has. That's why he told them to hold a gun, hold everything, because FBI came and seized all that stuff. They came and took all that stuff. So now they're going to see what they got to position to present the civil rights case.
Okay.
I have another thing too, because they saying stand your ground. Why couldn't Trayvon be standing his ground when he whooped his ass? He actually followed him.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? You entered into his circumference at that point. You understand?
That's a violation of the civil rights. Of his civil rights. That's what the case is going to be about. Because the 911 tape clearly told him to not follow, to not proceed.
Exactly.
And he proceeded, but he violated his
but you know,
civil
my
rights
thing is, if this kid was so much of, you know, maybe probably trying to commit a crime, the cops wouldn't have told him to back off. And I feel like they would have showed up at the scene if it was that bad. If this kid was like at somebody's door or peeping in somebody's window, yes, you know, but you call the cops, and like we clearly keep saying, they told you to back up off of it. Why didn't you? Was it something you had to prove to your people, or was this some type of initiation to kill a black kid?
He had plenty of time to fabricate a story, because once Trayvon was dead, he said, all right, let me cook this story up. And being that they feel this happens all the time down there, that he served the community justice. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly why he got off. Because
wow.
they feel This is what happens all the time.
With law enforcement and everything, I know once they got there, I'm quite sure. And that goes with law enforcement all over who harass or who stop a kid because, like, you know, you can't have an ID on you. They can frisk, they can search, and they can. But sometimes with law enforcement, as with guys, with, especially, you know, white cops here in New Jersey, I guess white cops in New York, when they see someone and they see African American and walking the street, or they see them driving somewhere, or they see them, they're going to follow you, they're going to search you because they see certain things, aspect about you. If my nephew come up to my house, he's driving, they're going to look at me, see his car, see who he's coming, whatever. That's just what it is. My brother always tell my nephew, follow whatever they say. Do not do anything out of the ordinary for them to pull their gun. Because the same incident where my brother is a place here in Newark where my sister couldn't pick up her godson, so my brother was down there supposed to come up. But my brother had on a white T-shirt, like a white beater shirt, but he has a big truck, black truck, and he tinted, and it's a Bradley Court area. He went down there to go pick him up with my sister, not thinking when it came back in, he saw some cars behind him, but he didn't think nothing, so he pulled off, he waited. They flashed him and told him to pull him off. They told him to get out of his truck, put his hand on his hood in his car, on the truck, and they ran his tag, but not knowing, asking when he's going to come to the front of his tag and say anything. But when they ran that tag, they didn't say nothing, but the shield came back, Captain Henderson. He waited. He didn't say nothing. He said it was a mistake. There was an error. They said it missing. No.
Yeah, right.
They were supervised. They had to come out there. They pulled them. They ended mostly the same union. They had to discipline them because he signed the paper. And they asked him why they pulled him over. He said they thought it was a report. They were listening. They had to sit there and listen to the radio and see if the report was out there that a black truck. It wasn't no report. Those guys got heavy suspension. And then you tried to call my brother and tell him, don't file a report. What the hell no?
Frisk law in Jersey, right?
Yeah. I mean, they can. Every kid 18 and over has to have an ID on them.
Wow.
You should have an ID on you.
Well, you should anyway. I mean, honestly, even younger people, you know, you should have an ID.
You should have an ID on you. I agree with that because you got to have an ID on you. I agree with that.
Exactly.
17 and over have an ID. I'm not no 13-year-old or 14-year-old. You don't stop them. No way.
What happens, y'all, like by me being in Newark and everything, I grow up. You know, the funny thing is, I was watching this episode of, they had the episode of Cops, right? And the guy was following behind the guy. And the guy jumped out the stolen vehicle. He had a white T-shirt and dreads. So he jumped over a gate and ran for his whole section. When the cops turned the corner, they couldn't even lock nobody up because everybody outside had white T-shirts on and dreads.
Yeah.
You understand? So now, this is what I'm saying to you. Let's just be smart. Now, I'm living in my neighborhood, right? Let's just say being smart. We're not talking about the rights that you had to do. You're right. Let's just being smart. If I got my little son, he's 13 years old, you think that I'm allowing my son to leave that house with white T-shirt and have dreads on, knowing that he might be profiled to fit a description of the actual gangbanger that is outside?
Right.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So this one says about how white America looks at this person. You understand? When they look at a person with a hoodie on and everything, they get scared. You know why? Because when you get robbed by somebody, he has a hoodie on.
But my thing is, my thing is, you should always ask for, because yes, my brother is over 16. He could be having a white T-shirt. They didn't know because they didn't know. But when they ran the tag, it came back and then they saw the steel on his truck. They were busted.
That's a lot of noise.
Busted.
Excuse me for a minute, Kia.
Okay.
Whoever that is, have all the noise in the background. Could you please mute or whatever? Because it's making us hard to hear what the caller's talking.
The thing about my brother is he was mortified the fact that he had to put his hand on his truck. They didn't ask him not one question. But when they came over there, they want to be apologetic. My brother wanted to hear it. He didn't want to hear it.
I know that's right.
Then the supervisor came out and he explained, you know, whatever. But then they had to listen. My brother's teeth came out. They didn't want to hear nothing. They had to, they had to suspend these guys without pay. And he said, and then you, because they were wrong. They were clearly wrong because they should have checked his shield, checked the license. When they checked the plate, they didn't ask him no questions. They ran a plate, but they came back.
And what type of work your brother do, Kia?
They got caught out there.
Kia?
Hmm?
What type of work your brother do?
This one is a fire captain.
Wow. Wow.
This one's a fire captain.
And like you say, he has it on his license plate.
He got it on his license plate. He got the shield on the front of his truck, but they didn't ask him for nothing. They ran his plate, but they came back to him. They said it was a truck written in his description. My brother said, like, hell.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
He got every right. Let me tell you something that they said. My other brother said the same thing. He got every right to ask them for their ID and their complaint form that they have to carry in their car.
I mean,
you
why did you ask him
that.
To get out the car from the roof?
Right. That's what
you know,
that's
you
what
you should have told
that's
him why you sent him.
Exactly.
Most of the time.
That's exactly. When the supervisor said, well, what was the, they had to listen to the radio to see if a black truck fit my brother's description was in, and it wasn't. What my brother said is they filled out the form, the union called, he was like, whatever. And he said, I want the suspension without pay. And he called, and they was like, whatever. And these guys tried, they sent a letter, like, apologize, whatever. My brother didn't want to hear none of that. None of that.
I don't blame them.
And they were suspended without pay. That's on them.
But you know what? Because, see, when they first stopped him, right, you should have asked for driver's license, insurance, all of that, before you asked him to get out of the car.
They didn't ask
him
for
nothing. You were stopping him just to do whatever.
Because he had a white T-shirt on, and my sister got sitting in the back of the truck scared. Get all this stuff flashed.
Of course.
And he sent his hand on the hood of his truck, but when they came back, they saw the mistake when it tore, and then you could see the shield right on his truck. But the shield is right on his truck. He got special plates on his truck, but when they ran it, it came back that way. Because anytime you ran his tag, it comes up Captain Henderson.
Wow.
Yeah, and they made the mistake. Yet they had to sit there and wait for the supervisor.
It wasn't no mistake.
And they tried to explain that
it was
in the area. They were, you know, they were looking and they thought, you know, whatever. They signed it. He was whatever. He stopped. He down in Trenton. You know, let's go down in Trenton. These guys, they took a heavy hit on this.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I bet you they were white cops too, weren't
they? Oh, yes, they were. Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
Wow.
And my brother said, do not let me get my attorney. Because everything better be by the law. And it's shown up. They had to show and he can call and everything. They were suspended 3 months without pay. They took their hair.
Well, see, you know what it is? It's a travesty simply because we do know that racism still exists.
Of course.
That they traded the badges. They traded their sheets and stuff in for the badges and... You know, their position.
So how do you trust
like that?
How do you trust
and
these
now,
guys when you're
now
that?
Wait a minute. Now that it's so much interracial dating going on, predominantly black men with white women, they're upset about that. Now that there's a black man running this country, that's something even more to drive them crazy. You understand what I'm saying? So they trying to say, oh, well, Zimmerman was Mexican. You are what your father is, which his father was Jewish.
Let me say, this is what I thought. The bloodline, correct me if I'm wrong, the bloodline is through the father, correct? And that's how you do the DNA. Am I correct, guys? The bloodline is through the father. Am I correct?
They
say that the bloodline is through the father?
Yeah.
Technically,
yeah.
The father is white. Am I correct?
Right. And when they first started the case, he was white.
I just want to make sure.
Until it became like a racist thing, that's when they wanted to say he was Hispanic.
Because his mother died, but the bloodline comes to the father. I just want to make sure.
You're right.
I just want to make sure. I want people to get to understand that. No, the bloodline comes to his father. It's the same thing with Tiger Woods says he's, you know, carbon. No, he's African American. His father's black. The bloodline comes to his father. His father's African American.
His father is what?
I'm talking about Tiger Woods, like using it, like, you know, like you say he's carbon and Asian. You know, his father's African American, so he's African American. The bloodline comes to his father.
Yeah. You're right
about
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to use that example, like, you know, when they say he, he says he's called an Asian. He's like, no, you're African American. Your father's black. Come on. Come on. When he said it, when I know the bloodline, with DNA, they do it through the father. It comes through the father. His father is white. No, he's not. They started using it because of his mother. Because of his mother. No.
Right. Well, when you have people that start denying themselves, you have a problem. You have a serious.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
True. It has nothing to do with your race. It has to do with yourself and your self worth and how do you think of yourself? What do you worth to you? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So y'all consider Halle Berry is their white?
Huh.
Because Halle Berry's mother is white. So, I mean, Halle Berry's child, her father, I think her father white or something like that.
Well, it ain't she
I
white.
I don't know. We claim Halle Berry, and she don't say she white.
I know that. I'm saying when you're classifying yourself, you call whatever you want to, but I'm just classifying when you classify yourself, the bloodline comes through the father. That's what I'm saying. You call you want to be evil. I don't care less, but I'm just saying with the bloodline.
I wouldn't care if you jet black. If your daddy white, you're a white boy.
Right. It's a bloodline.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. You are what your father is, and that's a natural fact.
Even though this could be another topic, but you know this black and white thing, you got so much of it going on now. But at the end of the day, if I cut you and I cut a white person, we all gonna bleed red.
Right.
I know that's right.
And you know what? I don't buy that no more. You know what? Because I'm the only African American in my practice group. I'm the only black in my department. And these guys that I work with, I had no issues with them. I had no issues with them. They had no issues with me. I have some of the best white friends. You know, I have some great friends, but I don't buy all this crap about, you know, certain things about, you know, not, you know, our own people will destroy us.
Right. You know, but you know what? In that way, these kids, the ones that catch the hell, being, you know, mixed kids, mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, I have two biracial grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
I love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if the mother is white. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, is there a mother? What am I supposed to do? Hate these kids? I was brought up to love one another.
Exactly.
We all brothers and sisters in God's eyes. So this racist thing needs to be. I wish that it could just like disappear, but it's not going to disappear. I was raised in West Virginia.
Raggedy comes in all flavors. They don't.
Yes.
Raggedy comes in. You got some white niggas, you got some black niggas, you got Asian niggas.
Exactly. Ignorance and trash.
If you understand what the definition of a nigga is, you don't. That's why I don't get offended when I hear it, because I know I'm not a nigga. We can sit here and you might have some books in, but once I throw this common sense on it, your head's going to spin.
Right.
I don't even go there.
I think when you educate yourself about it, you know, you see it, it's plain as day. I went to school college in Virginia. I saw it everywhere. We went out somewhere, you saw it. Come on. One of the racist states. You see it in South Carolina, one of the racist states. Come on. You know it. Down there, they don't hide it. They don't see it. Up here, you know, they hide it more.
Right.
You just got to learn to
educate yourself. It's not like this interracial couples just started.
Oh, no.
I know older people. They are married, been married for years, and everything. So you know it's nothing new. And like I said, at the end of the day, love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just because don't dislike someone because of the race.
Right.
And I mean nowadays, yeah, I mean even your what you have, the knowledge that you have, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
You can have the masters.
You could have a master's degree, but you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because
doesn't
if that person
difference.
Choose not to pick you and pick a white person over you, that's what they're going to do.
Yep, I know.
You know, but me, myself, I just rather I've always chose to stay in my own race as far as relationships. you know, but I've always told my kids, hey, that's strictly up to you. But I don't want to hear any of this racial, you know, slang against each other.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, it's hard sometimes getting past that because just when you think you have overcome and then stuff like this happens, then you're like put back to square one.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to jump in here for a minute. You know, I've lived in New York for years. I've been all through Jersey, and now I'm living in Florida. I'll tell you what. I've been through Jersey, all Clinton Avenue. We've been all over the place. And I never had an issue with the cops in Jersey because, I mean, they kind of knew it. I was part of enforcement in New York, and I had more problems with the cops in New York than I had in Jersey and I have in Florida. Now, I'm in Florida, and I have been pulled over at least 6 times speeding in different things, and I never got a ticket. I never had an issue with these cops here. So at the end of the day, I don't know if it's maybe the way you carry yourself or the way you deal with people, but, you know, there's a difference in how you carry yourself and how you deal with people as well. You know, if you carry yourself like, you know, like a gangbanger type, ignorant person, I think they're going to view that level. But New York just has a different breed of cop altogether. New York is just, I mean, New York seems to me worse than Florida and Jersey.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. And it's not even the cops here in New York, it's the state troopers. These are state troopers out here pulling people over. Not cops, it's state troopers.
Right.
New Jersey state troopers that's pulling people over and harassing. It's not the cops, because a lot of cops, that ain't got to do with it. But that don't have nothing to do with it. It's just because you have on or whatever. And some of these kids don't even live here. How many kids come from the suburbs and let's come down here for parties and skate and rain and stuff like
right.
that? And they get
but
stopped
I'm
going to
give
cars.
You a scenario.
They get stopped in these cars. They get stopped in their cars because they driving this type of car. But if their parents chose to buy it for them, that's them. You can't just
right.
keep stopping them.
But I'm going to give you a scenario. A couple of years ago, right, I had Philadelphia tags.
Mm-hmm.
And I was here in New Jersey. And I mean, I was just coming up the Memorial Drive, and they pulled me over.
Mm-hmm.
They said I was speeding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which I knew I wasn't speeding. But you got like 3 cop cars that like got my car blocked in,
mm-hmm.
giving each other high fives like you've
mm-hmm.
made a big drug bust. You know, and I'm like, what's the problem? Well, we're going to have to impound your car because your sticker ran out yesterday. And I'm like, well, you know, hey, let me drive around the corner. No, we're going to have to impound it, which they did. You know, but my thing is, it took like six cops, because it was 3 cars, 2 in each car. You giving each other high fives and all that. What was the big deal about that? And I'm sitting there, a female, you know, and I'm like, wow, really? You know, I got scared when I seen other cars pulling up. Like,
wow.
What are they going to really do?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but I'm going to tell you what I did. I made them follow me to where it was a store, and it was people out there. But you still proceeded to have 2 more cars to pull up on me. A total of 6 cops. You know.
Wow.
And it is. It's scary. It's very scary, you know, because like you said, what do you do? How do we make our kids feel safe? Can we make our kids feel safe?
Right.
You cannot.
There's only but so much we can do. You know what I mean? That's
right.
What I'm saying, because
mm-hmm.
we're not around our children 24/7.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I see.
And
I understand
that. You want
that.
Them to have that reassurance, like, okay, I'm not going to be walking to school and get, you know what I'm saying, and get shot by somebody
right,
to
right.
actually be help protecting me.
You know, but then, because now you may have these kids that's willing to do the right thing, scared to do anything, even walk to school. So what do we do then? You know, because you got a lot of families that's unfortunately doesn't have a car. They may not be, you know, in some of the bus systems that I know here in Asbury, they don't have a lot of buses for these kids. So what do you do with these kids, or how do you make them feel safe that you have got to go out here and walk to school? My thing is, with that being said, if you have some friends, you and your friends get up every morning and go to school together. So it'd be a group of you guys, you know, and it won't be no one-on-one that, you know, John was doing this and that's why we stopped him. And no,
but
if you got a group of them walking together,
right?
This where it comes with the connection of the community. Do community outreach with your kids, with family.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And tell these kids,
exactly.
You do it like this, sweetheart, then we don't have no one kid walking by themselves.
You got to teach them to shut their mouth. Let me tell you something. My niece Kansas has a mouth on her because she speaks because who she related to, who she whatever. And she's up in my neighborhood, and if you can't Kansas up there. She's up in my neighborhood, and I guess the neighbors saw her, and they were like, called the cops, called Lillis and cops, and they were like, and she walked back towards the house, and they asked her a question. I don't have to answer no questions.
How old is she?
16. While I'm pulling in the driveway, and while I'm pulling, I said, and I went down there, and the cop was telling me everything the cop was saying. We already know she has a mouth. So I knew the cop wasn't lying. I knew she said something. And so the cop was like, and I know the house. He said, I know your brother, I know your other brother. I said, yeah. He said, she has. I said, I know. I believe me, I know. I know my niece. You know, I know your, don't say what the kids going through. I know my niece, and I know she said something. I know she did.
Wow.
And my sister needs to teach her that. Because she has a mouth on her, or she thinks she doesn't. She thinks, Kansas thinks she can, you know, this summertime, like, okay, she's going to go to find a job. For what?
We have to lead by example. You know what I'm saying?
We have to be out there.
Agent Kia again, their lives. We may bring them up one way, right? But when they leave out that door, we don't know what our kids will say or do.
You're right.
We can't be that parent to say, I know my kid didn't do this. You don't know what your kid doing.
Well, that's why you got to hope that what you teach the children and instilling them will go with them when they leave your house. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You can only hope for the best once they do walk out of your
house. Hold on, Mike. What were you trying to say?
I was trying to say, that's the perfect example of everything that y'all was saying. I kind of agree and disagree because I think that like when y'all say our parents, how they had a disconnect from us or how they were raised, I think that this generation with kids, a lot of kids can't get that off. Like with my daughter, I know when my daughter lying, and I know when she did something because I did the same thing. Like, your mother really couldn't do that to you because the way she was raised different, and we the ones that got out of control. Now you have a kid, you could notice that it's out of control structure. I could look at somebody's kid, and I'm not you now, this might be profiling, but within 5 minutes, I can tell if that kid's fresh.
I can do the same thing, too.
Yeah, especially if you've been around that kid.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you have some parents that will literally go back and forth with you, knowing that their kids could do whatever, but they will tell you, well, I know my kid didn't do this. You do not know. That kid can be almost like a saint at home. But once they get away from you and around their friends or whoever, that kid could be totally different.
Right. My sister the same way, because she know her daughter is not no angel. And my white neighbors saw her, and she asked for her on my upper cousin. And I know when that cop said, my niece said that, I know she did, because I know my niece did. And I know that mouth of hers. And my mother said, Kansas. She said, well, he should have talked to me in that tone. I'm like, oh, my God, I knew it. What tone was she supposed to talk to? She should have talked to me in that tone. And she kept saying, well, do you know my other uncle? Do you know my other uncle? And she was like, yeah, you know, whatever. And I knew that's what she was thinking. She likes to call me.
that's why I said, I mean, I had to even tell my daughter. She's one of them kids like, this person don't like me, that person don't like me. Wait a minute, sweetheart. It's always that somebody don't like you.
Don't like you.
Maybe you need to take a look in the mirror and figure out who has the real problem.
Right.
I'm saying it boils down to you because I know your attitude.
Yep.
That person is not ticking you off.
Yep.
You're ticking yourself off because you want to have the last word.
You're legit, you're not legit, sweetie, you're still wrong.
That person doesn't dislike you.
You dislike yourself.
Oh, God. Thank you.
Take a self-preservation on it. Because I know you.
Oh, my God.
It's that last word.
It's the last word. We could be like, look at her like she had to have it.
What's so big about having the last word? It don't make you no bigger or better than the next person.
And so I don't.
You're still nothing in my eyesight. I'll still knock your butt to dust in the middle of next year.
And that's exactly what my mother did to her. That's exactly what my mother did when she got up to that house. My mother told her, man. It's the last word.
Unfortunately, Dons and Divas, we're coming to the essence of time.
I'm just going to be
that last word.
And we're going to give y'all a chance to get a last word.
The last word.
The last word in.
Hey, you know what? Because honestly, I'm saying it about my daughter, but I've been there too. I feel like, you know what? If I could get that last word in and they shut up, then guess what? I'm the winner.
My last word was mumbles. I was mumbling under my breath in my room. You already know. Listen, and the thing is, we used to get it from our uncles, our aunts, whoever was available.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't no, you can't say nothing to my child. You was going to get it, whoever was available.
Exactly.
And whoever was available can kick your butt, too.
Exactly.
Only my family, because I'm going to tell you, my oldest brother, I would rather for that man to smack me, and I can't stand being smacked because my parents never smacked me. I'd rather for him to smack me or just beat me even at my age now than to talk to me. I hate when that man, I ain't going to say I hate, but I despise when he talked to me when I've done some wrong. You know, because his words, it's just like his words just cut you like a knife. But he be so real about it. You know, you can't get ticked off at him. I went at every last, and I got, trust me, I got five brothers and I had two sisters. I went at every last one of them but him.
Uh-huh.
We was just talking about that the other day. And I told him, I said, you know what? I call him Dad sometimes because that's what he's like to me. You know, but he ain't going to let you get the last word in.
It's not going to happen. What I say is final. And you know what? I'm like that with my children. You understand what I'm saying? I listen.
Yep.
I'm going to let y'all listen. We're not going to, it's not up for discussion. This is not a debate right here. We're not, you ain't in school with that nonsense.
Right.
You got to remember who I am to you. Who I am. And I'm
okay, guys.
You're right about that. You're right about that. Because let's leave me. When my brother got this, he got two the hell out. He ain't opened up our mouth no more time.
You know, some of us parents, when you get children, though, at that age, though, when, you know, we
16
have to talk,
years
you
know, old. 16.
Well, again,
John
Jesus. John Jesus. We come
yeah.
here. We're coming to a close of our show, and we would like to give all our listeners a chance to get a final say-so, and we would like to start with Mike, our first caller. Angie, if you have any that last word going on.
You know, I got something I want to say. Well, I'm going to just say this. You know, to be real with you, it's hard and it's bad that we can't keep our children safe. Well, all we can do is pray that nothing goes wrong.
Yes.
Because if we keep getting guys like Zimmerman, we ain't going to have no kids to raise.
Yeah. Great words, Mike.
I say, you know, that's the last call. We don't. None of us want that call from about our kids.
Amen. Dead.
Amen. Amen.
Like you know, and we really got to get together and do something about this situation. I just gonna keep going on. We ain't the only one out here with a father that's a judge, that's a cop.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
No. Anyone else?
Well, I'm gonna.
My bad.
I'm just saying. Wait a minute, Mike. Were you finished?
No, that was Chick.
Chick. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Chick.
No, well, I was basically saying, like, I just didn't want to, you know, by our setback, I was so sad at all the events, man, that's happening right now. But, like, you know, it didn't surprise me. I was just shocking everybody. And, you know, it's crazy how it takes for event to get posted through Facebook and media and get posted up by everybody for somebody to pay attention. The crazy thing about it, man, is that things that's happening on the news every day, man, every day for you to get up there and fight. There's people that got traffic lights that's not working on their street, and all they got to do is go to a council meeting,
man.
What people need to do is just start beginning socially conscious about their environment, and you would not have laws that's being passed without your knowledge. Prior to Trayvon Martin, you cannot say you knew what a stand your ground law is. But the people who made the law, who wrote the legislation for it, they wrote it for a reason. What we need to do is know that we got power in our dollars, power in our voice. Let's collectively get together and we can start putting out legislation for laws to get voted upon. And once we start doing that as a community, we can be able to dictate things that's going to happen. I see it happen all the time. If we start by the little steps, the big ones won't be no power for us. And I promise you, nothing like this will happen again.
Say it.
I'm just gonna echo a few statements. And man who actually invented the stand your law, your ground law. Interesting enough, he said just the other day that he is shocked and surprised by the verdict that he's seeing based on the law. So basically, he's second guessing the law that he himself created. So that ought to tell you something. And then the other thing, as far as kids, I mean, sometimes these things are for us to open our eyes to really focus on what's really going on. Because sometimes we lose focus and we put our attention on the wrong thing. Shoes, clothes, cars, money, homes, things like that. But we should be really focusing on our kids. And the only way that we're going to fight, the system is to make us kids part of the system, meaning that they know the laws, they know who to look out for, who not to look out for, and they know where to put their focus, not on guys for the girls and girls for the guys, but basically on their knowledge, their education, and their future. And as far as knowing what our kids do, I think T had touched on it, we think we know what our kids are going to do until they get on Facebook. And then you read some of the messages and things that they put up, and you'll think to yourself, that's not my son, that's not my daughter. Yeah, they're on Facebook because they figure you're not reading their stuff until you see the kind of stuff that they're putting up. And
you are shocked and amazed. Let me iterate on that one, Dave, real quick. They can block you out of seeing what they are posting up on Facebook, too.
Yeah, but if you go in not as yourself, then that's a different story. You see what I'm saying? You follow me?
Yeah, but if they got it up for just certain people to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta beat them at their own game, basically, is what I'm saying. You know. So but I mean that's pretty much it. And you know, if we allow this to continue and we don't respond or react to it, it's gonna continue because what you allow, people are gonna continue to do. And I know people said it before that we need to stand up, we need to fight, we need to do certain things. But at the end of the day, we need to come together And however we do it, we need to come together and we need to make some changes, not only to the laws, but to the way people perceive us. And we
right.
need to get respect from these people. We need respect, and that's the bottom line.
Okay. Kia?
My thing is, you know, I always pray, you know, and thank God that, you know, he's just, and they have to realize how good God is. And in order for there to be some progress, there has to be some change. Everything
Amen.
Negative, precious, challenging, are opportunity for us to rise. And
yeah.
I tell like a lot of, if I see, you know, especially disabilities that I work with, sometimes you have to remind yourself that I don't have to do what everybody else is doing. When you stick to
yeah.
that, you don't have to do what everybody else is doing.
That's true.
Stop
be a leader instead of a follower.
Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. If you stay focused on what you're doing and trust God, you have to trust God through everything.
Yeah.
And all the bad, good, or whatever, still give God glory.
All
everything.
Right.
Everything. And so they
yeah.
realize that, and you got to continue to pray and keep them covered.
Yeah. Well, before I turn it over to Angie, my thing is, we're going to have to stick together as a whole, protect our kids,
mm-hmm.
cover them in the blood of Jesus, because if not, we're going to be a lost world. You know, things are happening for a reason now. You know, and I just want to say, I want to thank God first and foremost, the CEO, executive producer, my Diva Squad, GQ Palace family, callers, listeners, everyone for tuning in. You know, we enjoy you guys, and continue to call and, you know, chime in with us. And have a great rest of the week.
Yes, yes, yes. Again, he pretty much sums it up. Again, we do like to thank all of our listeners and callers. First, we want to just thank the Lord. We want to thank the Lord that he gives us refuge. That we can go to him. We just have to believe
yeah.
that he will make everything right, even when things seem so bad as for the moment, you know, and tragedy strikes some people. We have to take these as lessons and grow from them. And you know, and as long as you do what's right, you have to do what's right. You, that's the key word, you.
Exactly.
You have to do what's right, because we can't control what anybody else does. So if you do what's right, then hopefully it'll be a reflection to someone else that they can go out and do the same thing. You know?
Right.
We have to be prayerful. We need to continue to stay prayerful, but we also have to put in work, because faith without works is dead. So to also put in that work, like you said, forums, there's all kinds of things available for us, you know, as a people,
apply it.
you know, to just be aware. We have to be made aware of what's available for us, for our protection and stuff
yeah.
like that, and then put all of this stuff into place. And
again,
we thank Rich and Lavina here at GQ Pals Radio.
Rachel, we miss you, sweetie.
Yes, we miss Rachel on tonight. We know you're a busy woman. We miss you on tonight. And again, we want to thank Rich and Lavina in the background putting forth their work too, for making this possible for us to be here.
Right.
We want to call our listeners out there, don't be afraid to press that one and get in on the conversation. We do appreciate your opinions and your thoughts and comments and everything. We want to thank everybody for keeping it respectful on these lines as well, because we do have listeners.
Oh, you're right.
And stuff like that. So, you know, we want to keep that in mind. Be mindful of that. So, again, thanks again. And you are on the line with GQ Palace Radio, Diva Squad, Love Fantasy, and we will be in the house next week, same time, same place.
Will we?
And with that said, I'm chucking up the truth.
This is great.
Here's a story about a young girl, true and all, been through it all. was only 16, but swore she knew it all. No family, no one to call. In the world, she's lost. Skipping school, letting all the boys inside her drawers. Getting higher, more than weed, I'm talking coke and speed. She feels school with something that she don't really need. She barely reads and writes, running with them thieves at night. Sleeping with grown men in search of a sweeter life. She sells her body for a sweet price. One sniff for that blow and she's in paradise. She wants to find herself, but has no insight. At night she cries for help, cause she don't understand life. At least the life she lives. What kind of life is this? For a young girl whose life is priceless. Precious as a jewel. But here's the sad news. She died of AIDS. Another gone too soon. Too soon, too soon.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, when you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, it's a part and part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why she's really here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not. She's gone, 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 gone.
He wakes up every morning after a good stretch and yawning, ready to face the trials and tribulations of the day. He feels his family doesn't love him cause he's gay. No one accepts him except for the ones he's sexing. He gets bullied in school, the kids treat him cruel. He wants to end it all but not sure what he should do. His heart is filled with blues, he has nothing to lose. Still he dresses and dresses in high heel shoes, with his long hair, lipstick and pretty jewels. It makes him to stay him and not change for them. So misunderstood, somebody pray for him. All alone in this world, no one to take him in. I pray to God and make a way for him. He wants it all to end, though it's hard to overcome the situations that he's in. Because he loves men, who are we to label that as sin?
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, it's a part and part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why she's really here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not. She's gone, 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 gone.
Mom and dad had a little baby girl, but the daddy wanna be in a little baby's world. So she grew up confused, thinking to herself, why daddy ain't wear them shoes to put on his feet to walk her to school. The other kids' fathers did it, that was cool. She cried so much tears she could have made a pool. She felt this pain all through grade school. Father's Day came, she wrote, I hate you. When that karma come, Jesus can't save you. Her conscience saying, your dad probably hates you. Show love to his son so he looks like an angel. On Facebooks and pics, it's all smiles. When she sit on the other side, it's all frowns. Now her little heart damaged, thinking to herself, will he care if I vanish? Mommy, why my daddy don't love me? Then her conscience say, probably think you ugly. Big day for her graduation. She texts him, are you coming? Please don't have me wait. Don't have me wait. Don't have me wait.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, it's the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering.